Appreciate the song and exhortation. And we know we need the Spirit of the Lord here with us tonight. I would like to read from Psalms chapter 90. Psalms chapter 90, Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. This is the one that we are dealing with, the one that is from everlasting to everlasting. He is God. He has always been there, and He always will be. I read a poem that moved me, and it says that empires rise and fall. Isn't that true in the history of the world? Great men come and go. Generations come and go. But before the mountains were, Thou art God. He's always been here. And He's going to outlast every kingdom of this world. Verse 3, Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, Return ye children of men. Did you know God has everything in control?
Yes, He does.
Including men and women. There are people that are young and strong and they feel like they're invincible. Nobody can stop them. But time takes its toll.
Yes.
I was saddened when I heard the account of Richard Madden Jr. Richard Madden Jr. was a strong man, probably exceptionally strong, fine-looking man, but his health began to go down. And he was a mere fraction of the man he once was when he passed away. God has a way of turning men that are mortal back to destruction. We leave this world. No matter how beautiful we are, no matter how intelligent, how strong we may think we are, God has a way of turning us back to the place where we came from. Verse 4, For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. How long does 1,000 years sound to you? Almost seems like eternity, doesn't it? But to the Lord God in heaven, that's just like a watch in the night. He's from everlasting to everlasting. When Adolf Hitler rose to power, he had a vision that he would create an empire that would last 1,000 years. And he did a remarkable job of starting his empire. It was amazing what one man could mastermind. Nation after nation were falling before Hitler and his armies. But his 1,000-year reign only lasted about 12 years. And it was over. Empires rise and fall. But Thou art God. God is from everlasting to everlasting. 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath we are troubled. Have you stopped to consider how transient this life is? The rising and falling of empires. In March, we had the opportunity to visit Rome. And while we were in Rome, I was amazed at the engineering skill of those Romans almost 2,000 years ago. Just amazed. The buildings they could construct. Their capabilities. But I also got the very strong impression while I was there that the empire is gone. That these people are just living in the shadow of the glory that the Roman Empire once had.
Yes.
Has been. And they'll give you tours and tell you how great their empire used to be. But they're a mere shadow of what it once was. Do you know the names of any of the Roman emperors? Do you really care? They're gone now, aren't they? What difference did it make that they became emperor of Rome, the empire that controlled pretty much the whole known world? Where are they now? God has a way of turning men back to destruction. Do you know who Alexander the Great was? Maybe it sounds vaguely familiar. He was one of the greatest military conquerors of all time. He was the king of Macedonia, but he also became king of Persia, Babylon, and Asia. And he created Macedonian colonies in modern-day Iran. Quite an accomplishment. If Russia just goes over to, what is it, Crimea or Ukraine, and starts doing some things there, people get alarmed. Well, this man really did it. He really expanded empires. But Alexander the Great died of malaria in Babylon, Persia, now Iran, on June 13th, 323 BC. He was just 32 years old. A mosquito bite. And at 32, he died. Where is he today? Nations rise and fall. But from the beginning, thou art God. Have you considered the Great Pyramid of Egypt? One of the marvels of the world. People are still puzzling today, archaeologists, historians. How did they accomplish that? The size of the construction is so overwhelming. Herodotus said that it would have taken 30 years and 100,000 slaves to build the Great Pyramid. Quite a task. And we don't know how they did it. Every stone was so heavy. We just don't know. Now this was a tomb for Pharaoh. Where is Pharaoh today? Perhaps the mastermind of the construction thought this pyramid will last forever. And they believe that these pyramids were covered with marble. The marble's gone today. Maybe it was wear over the thousands of years. What is that, 4,500 years ago? The wear of the sandstorms in Egypt. Maybe it was looters taking it over the years. But the marble's gone. And the pyramid is diminishing in size. Where are the pharaohs today? I believe that tomb is greater than the tomb they're going to place where they bury me. What difference does it make? They're out in eternity. Verse 8, thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. Our secret sins, the things that we hope nobody ever finds out. Did you know God knows about every one of those things? You think of the unsolved crimes, the murders. Sad, isn't it? A murder is committed and they never find the culprit. God knows. And there's coming a day that the Bible calls the restitution of all things, where every murder is going to be accounted for, every robbery, all of that. He is God.
That's right.
Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For our days are spent, passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. We spend our years as a tale that is told. Have you ever considered the shortness of an obituary? Not long ago, I read my Annie Bodnar's obituary. The question is, how do you condense a person's life into 5 minutes? Maybe that person had a full life. Maybe there are so many good things to say. And somehow, in 5 minutes or so, we're supposed to summarize that life, like a tale that is told. I want to make an impression on you tonight that life is short. And soon we will be out to face eternity and face the Lord. It is as a tale that is told. Some tales end happily. I like the ones, and they lived happily ever after. That makes me feel good. It all ended up fine. In fact, I had a good feeling at Anna Bodnar's funeral. I felt she's living happily ever after. But not all tales end up that way. Some are sad endings. Some tales end up, and he died and went to hell. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes. I want to make an impression on you tonight that life is short, and soon we'll be out of here, and we will face the Lord. The song says, where is thy hope, poor sinner? What are you going to do? Hope is a God-given anchor, lavished so freely on you. If it is fixed in the Savior, on that bright shore you will land. But if in sin you still linger, sad your end. A tale that is told. Do you remember so-and-so? Yes, I remember them. Well, their tale is over now. It's so short. We're out of here so quickly. Verse 10 says, the days of our years are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. It is soon cut off. I hope you get a sense of urgency tonight, that I don't have much time. I want to tell you, I have that sense of urgency in my life. I feel like I don't have much time. And whatever I'm going to do, I better get it done. Because soon we fly away. Yes. I feel like I'm racing against the clock, and I want to get what done I can in this life. Sometimes I like to startle people a little bit. Years ago, I was talking with a man at work, and he was talking about some situation that I think maybe I wasn't getting my way or whatever. I don't remember what it was. But I said, really, it's not going to matter much because I'm going to die soon anyway. And he stopped and he said, you're going to die soon? When are you going to die? And I said, I don't know. But even if it's 50 years from now, that's soon. I want to make people think.
Yes.
Soon, it is cut off.
Yes.
And we fly away. Soon. In eternity. Poor sinner, your soul will be. What shall then atone for thee? Why carelessly wait? Life is short, and our time is running out. Ecclesiastes 9 and 10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. In this life is your opportunity.
That's right.
If you want to live for the Lord, you better get with it. You better get serious about it. Your time is running out.
Yes.
Back to Psalms 90 and verse 11. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? According to thy fear, so is thy wrath. Did you know sin makes God angry?
Yes, it does.
Did you know that God is looking down on the United States of America and He is seeing her sins?
Yes.
And He is angry. And God sees each person's sins individually and it makes Him angry.
Yes.
Psalms 7 and 11 says, God judgeth the righteous and God is angry with the wicked every day.
Yes.
His anger is filling up and there will come a day that He'll say, it's enough. And bring this world into judgment. Let's read in Revelation chapter 15 and verse 7. Revelation 15 and 7. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God, who liveth forever and ever. Can you picture God's wrath filling and filling to the point He says, that's it. How close are we tonight? How close is our nation to experiencing the wrath of God? Our world? How much more is God going to tolerate? And then in people's individual lives, how much more until the cup is full? It brings the wrath of God. Who knows the power of thine anger? Let's read in Numbers chapter 16. Someone get that for me. Read Numbers 16 verses 31 through 35.
But if the Lord make a new thing and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them and they go down quickly to the pit, that he shall understand that these men provoked the Lord. And it came to pass, as he made it into speaking all these words, that the ground cleaveth under them with under them, and the earth opened their mouth and swallowed them up, and the houses and all the men that appertained unto Korah and all their goods. They and all that appertained unto them went down alive under the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. And there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense.
These were rebels against Moses, against God's ordained leader.
Yes.
Do you think rebellion brings the wrath of God?
Yes.
He caused the earth to swallow them up that day.
Yes.
Think of Sodom, the wrath of God. Fire and brimstone raining down from heaven. Do you think God notices what's going on in San Francisco today? When the Supreme Court makes a decision in favor of that type of lifestyle being the law of the land, do you think God notices that?
Yes, ma'am.
The wrath of God is building up.
Amen.
Back to Psalms 90 and verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Teach me, Lord, since my life is short, since the end of my life is uncertain, teach me to recognize that my days are short and to number those days, to recognize, Lord, I need to take advantage of what time I have left. I don't know how much time I have in this life, but I better be down to business for God. Whatever restitutions I need to make, whatever person I need to ask forgiveness, I better be serious about that. Teach me, Lord, to number my days. That number is finite, and it's counting down.
Yes.
Teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. There is no time to be partying our lives away. No time to be wasting year after year, procrastinating, saying the Lord has delayed His coming. There's no time for that.
Amen.
Lord, teach us to number our days. James chapter 4. James chapter 4 and verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, and continue there and buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. If my life is a little vapor, how much time should I spend preparing for this life? How many years should I go to college and postgraduate school just preparing for this life? My life is a vapor. I want to be careful how much time that I spend just on the cares of this life. Because it is vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Such a short time, and we are gone. Lord, teach us to number our days, that we can apply our hearts unto wisdom, that we know how to spend what short time we have in this life. I want to tell you about three people that I knew that lived in the village where we lived in Honduras. One was a young man. I spoke to this young man repeatedly about his soul. He was a thief. He was a drug addict. He created a lot of problems in the village. But my heart went out to this young man, and I spoke to him about giving his heart to the Lord. One day I saw him on the street, and I was talking with him, and he brought it up himself. He said, I'm thinking about it. And I said, you're thinking about what? And he nodded toward the chapel. He was a man of few words. And I said, you're thinking about getting saved? And he nodded his head, yes. I told him, don't put it off too long. That was about 2 weeks before he drowned in the sea. They went out one day when the sea was very rough, and there was a barrel out in the sea. And they thought it was drugs, contraband that had been thrown over. Sometimes when the authorities are chasing after the drug runners will get the contraband off, throw it overboard. And they thought that's what it was. So five of them went out in this undersized boat with no life jackets on a very, very rough day. And the boat went down. And this young man's body washed up on shore several days later. I said, don't put it off too late. Life is short. Lord, teach me to number my days. Help me to realize life is uncertain. I don't know when I will be out of here. There was a middle-aged man in the same village, lived there. Sometimes he would come to our church services, and sometimes he would make his way down to the altar of prayer. They called him Leech. When I would meet him at the altar of prayer, I would ask him, what are you looking for from the Lord? Well, I just want you to pray for me. Well, are you saved? No. Would you like to be saved? Well, I'm not ready yet. I just want you to pray for me. And he did this different times. One day, I saw him walking his dog, and I spoke with him. And he acted like he was in a real hurry. And I thought it was strange. He's out walking his dog. He didn't have much time for me to talk or anything. That was the last time I saw him. We moved back to the States, and one day my phone rang at work. Brother Doug, it was a young man in the congregation, kind of agitated. You remember Leech? He got a ride in the back of a pickup. And the driver of the pickup saw police, was afraid, and was running from the police. They had an accident, and Leech hit a tree. We don't know how much time we have. Lord, teach me to number my days. My life is short. Life is uncertain. I want to apply my heart to wisdom. I sure wish Leech would have made the commitment. Yes, I would like to be saved. I'm ready now. I want to be saved. Lord, teach me to number my days. There was an old man that was from our village, and I was concerned about his soul. And I spoke to him different times about the need to be ready. And he would act like, oh yes, things are well, just got to keep pressing on for the Lord. But I felt like he really wasn't ready. Well, toward the end of his life, he acknowledged to me he was not ready. But he said, I'm going to take care of it. The day came that he had some other plans, but he suddenly dropped down and he started dying right there. Lord, teach us to number our days. People go all the way from youth to old age thinking, I'm going to have a little more time. I can get ready. But I want to apply my heart to wisdom. I want to be ready. I don't know when my last day will be.
Yes,
Psalms chapter 89. Psalms chapter 89 and verse 47. Remember how short my time is. Wherefore hast thou made all men in vain? What man is he that liveth and shall not see death? Shall he deliver his soul from the hand of the grave? What man is there that is invincible, that will live forever? All of us are going to leave this world someday. Remember how short my time is. I want to ask you tonight, how short is your time? How much time do you have left to be ready to meet the Lord? Lord, teach me to number my days. When we came here this time, my mind went back to a time that I came to camp meeting here before, 34 years ago. When I came here to camp meeting 34 years ago, I didn't come for my spiritual benefit. I came to have a good time. I was young, kind of foolish. And I remember we would go out with young people and eat pizza. Nothing wrong with eating pizza. But one day I looked in my billfold and did a little reckoning. And I realized I don't have enough gas money to get back home to Oklahoma. And I got this feeling of desperation. I was too proud to speak to my sister Pam and ask for money to get home. So I began thinking, what am I going to do? I've got to earn some money somehow. So we went over, and I believe it was Douglas Hall. We started baling hay down here in the summertime in hot, humid Louisiana. That was some hard-earned gas money. But we made it back home to Oklahoma. I made a mistake. I fell short somehow. Well, I recovered and made it back home. But imagine someday that you look in your spiritual billfold and you realize I've come up short and I don't have what it takes to get home. Lord, teach us to number our days. Teach us to be making an accounting day by day. Lord, do I have the goods on hand? Am I ready? Am I being careful about my life? Lord, I don't know my end. I don't know how short my life is, Lord. Let me apply my heart to wisdom so that I can make good decisions and be ready. I think this is one of the saddest scriptures in the Word of God, Jeremiah 8 and 20. It says, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. To get down to the end of the way and to recognize, I made a miscalculation somewhere. I missed it in life. The things that were important, the things that were valuable, somehow they slipped through my fingers. Those opportunities that Sister Roberta spoke of this evening, somehow they got away. And the summer's passed, and we are not saved. Lord, teach us to number our days.
Amen.
What do you do to wake sinners up? It seems like some are willing to go all the way, and I don't know what they're doing. It's like they have one foot in the grave. And you still can't wake them up. And they slip right on out into eternity. I want to apply my heart to wisdom. Lord, teach me to number my days.
Amen.